Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankaravavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 69. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Vijnana is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnana as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience. In that way, he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. So that's what we were discussing before, is that something is experienced. That's what it's trying to get to. Then the knowledge actually has meaning. Right, so that's what you're trying to express, yes.
There's a doubt that Brahma in Brahma Samhita, he worships Govinda. But on his own planet, it's a thousand-headed Purush who is the presiding deity. So.
Oh, okay. But what is his service to Govinda?
With his creator.
Yes, so then who controls all that? Who's the actual one who is in every atom, between every atom, is all those, that potencies of all, everything that is created, that it works and interacts. But in this case that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
You understand? So in other words, that aspect of the thousand-headed Purush, he's the one that is all the different forms that are there. Whatever Brahma can create, it needs that potency for it to work. So then Brahma is able to see the Lord's position in everything. So he's associating with that form of the Lord in which he's doing that service for Govinda.
It sounds like he's got a personal deity and he's got a job deity.
Being Brahma's the job. You know, it's a job, but he uses it in devotion. Because now, let us say, is he's not a devotee,
yeah.
So he only has the occupational aspect.
It's out of the Govinda part.
Yeah,
oh.
Like that. So it's just a matter of he's not a devotee. Then he's not going to be doing things on that platform. So that he sees the Lord in connection with everything and how it works. Otherwise, how does he know? How is he you know, because Brahma has 55 qualities.
Yeah.
Right? So those five extra qualities. So one of that omniscience, how can he be omniscient unless he's seeing the Lord? Because only the Lord is pervading everything. So that omniscience is knowing the Lord. It's not that on your own you're omniscient without the Lord. It's that the Lord is the one who's pervading everything. Knowing the Lord, that's how you can be omniscient. Right? The Lord's omniscient because he is everything, so that's, you know, he knows what his big toe's doing. You know, it's not a big deal. But you know the Lord, then you know what his big toe's doing. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Isn't it possible that he could worship that deity in the consciousness that they're non-different? Like in his heart?
Yes, of course. Yes. That's be the other step, is that it's Govinda who's the thousand-headed Purush, and, you know, it's just Govinda's come in this form. So just as he sees Krishna in everything, he also sees that this is Govinda there, but he just has that particular form. So he'll take everything back to Govinda. But if he's not a devotee, he knows he's the Supreme Lord. He's pious, so it's not that he's not acknowledging the Supreme. It's just that he's not a devotee. He's not interested in worshiping. So he'll have that respectful attitude. He'll deal properly. He's his father. He does everything according to the laws given by him. Right? So then that aspect is there. So even whoever it is that brings him to that platform of understanding, but still he'll just see that as the Lord, but he's not a devotee. So then, you know, if in this case, if Govind had come, which most likely he wouldn't, but then that wouldn't be important to him. It would just be that Vishnu, you know, has all these different forms, you know, because he comes as all these different avatars. Once in a day of Brahma, whether he's a devotee or not, then Swayam Krishna comes. So he can accommodate, but it's not, he doesn't worship. Does that make sense? He's just super pious, that's all. So for here is that then by the principle how we'd apply it, then he sees the thousand-headed Purush as a Govinda. Okay. So, yes?
Maharaj, only the Brahmas which are pure devotees, they will be seen in those graves?
I would expect. Otherwise, how they'll have that realization? They'll just see it back. They'll just see it as all coming from Vishnu. But to see it coming from Govinda, that they would have to. Because it's not that this is our Brahma this time. I think it's in... Where is that? Oh, I think it's in the Nrisimha Purana. Then it describes... Nrisimhadev. He, in another creation, Nrisimhadev comes to Brahma and gives them his mantra, and through that he creates the universe. So in other words, through something, some mantra connected with the Lord, through that he creates the universe. Because Krishna being everything, so therefore everything's in the mantra. But I think you have to be Lord Brahma to understand to that refineness, how you get 8,400,000 species of life out of that one mantra. Right? We're lucky if we get Krishna out of the mantra. Which form comes? If he's not a devotee, I would expect it would just be a Vishnu form. And then from that, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu himself, or the thousand-headed Vishnu himself, he would deal with it. But since he's a devotee, then Govinda came, and then he was able to realize Golok and Braj and all these different things. So, okay. Ajnana Bidha means that which can match all kinds of speculation. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is vijnana, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Right, so ajnana bidha means which can match all kinds of speculation. So whatever speculation they have, then the presentations of the realizations of Brahma, that can match any of them, can defeat any of them. Right, can bring everything to the transcendental position. Otherwise, basically, unless one is understanding the Lord in parampara, there's a good chance that there's going to be speculation. It's going to have some material element to it. So it won't have that pure knowledge. Right? Maybe in pursuit of, so that's glory, that's good. That part we'll accept. But then it has to move forward. But if someone just has that knowledge without trying to move forward, then we'll point out the weakness. Or we'll at least just point out that it's pious and good and they maintain, but it'll still be a waste of time for the soul. Because short of pure knowledge, there's no real knowledge for the soul. Does that make sense? Mundane knowledge doesn't give any benefit to the soul. Right? Only pure knowledge gives benefit to the soul. Mm-hmm. Right. Therefore, the demigods prayed, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither ajnana bidha, the nescience of speculative knowledge, nor vijnanam would be realized. Okay, so. So your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form, right? Therefore, the demigods, without your appearing as Krishna as you are, neither these things can be realized. Right? That's the Upanaya. Right? He's showing that. Therefore, it's only because of that. Then all these other concepts are brought near. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. By your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities, like Lord Brahma, will be established. So we hear real knowledge, but for us that may be just jnana. But it's real jnana. Then by practicing that and contemplating that, that then turns into real, realized knowledge, right? Vijnana. Right? So vijnana actually is real knowledge. We'll say that there's some people have realization and this and that, but it's still within material knowledge. So Mayavadis or impersonalists, others may have some realization of the soul, and so they were able to elevate them up to some self to a higher platform. And so we would say that they're on the platform of Vijnana. You know, so technically any Brahmana is supposed to be on the Vijnana platform because they're supposed to work on the platform of the soul and understanding of Brahman. But because of impure consciousness, technically what they're dealing with is not the pure knowledge. They may be dealing with the scriptures, the Sanskrit words, everything like that, but their concept of them is not pure. Only when it actually is in connection with devotional service, right? Favorable devotional service, that then is pure knowledge. Otherwise, that's why we say that they're still materialists, right? Even though they may be detached materialists, right? Now, of materialists, would you consider, let's say you have two gross materialists. One has everything, one has nothing, which we would consider more fortunate. Yeah, so therefore, even as materialists, they're in a sad position. So in other words, from Dharma, you're supposed to go to Sad-Dharma. Right? And that will naturally take you through the position of Vijnanamoy, where you're going to realize the soul. Right? And come to the transcendental position. So that's the natural. Bhakti will take you through. The material processes won't. You'll get up to the platform of Vijnanamoy, but you're only getting Vijnana of material knowledge. Because it's a material concept of what Brahman is. You don't actually know what Brahman is. Does that make sense? So Mayavadis don't act, even though they're Brahmavadis, they actually don't know what Brahman is. So that's really, really, what do you call it?
Unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God according to the modes of nature, right? That's what we mean. So unless, it means anybody who's not a devotee is influenced by the modes. They may be situated nicely in goodness so that you practically can't see the influence. But it's still goodness because there's still some passion and ignorance because they want to experience Brahmananda. So that's that touch of passion. And they think that that's all there is and that they are that Brahmananda. That's ignorance. So even though it's predominantly, but still there's that flavor of ignorance. So the whole Mahatattva is flavored by ignorance. Therefore the Lord, as the controller of this phenomena, is called Tamasi. Because he's the controller of ignorance. So in the material world, ignorance is the prominent point of consciousness. Then it's how that ignorance is manifest through which mode. So it can be any of the three modes in your ignorance. You can be in goodness, but still be in ignorance because you're in goodness following the rules, following the Shastra, but you don't know who the Lord is or yourself is. They know that there's Brahman or Paramatma, they know that there is the soul, but they actually don't know the reality of the relationship, so technically they're in ignorance. You understand? Comparatively speaking, no, but still they're in ignorance. Just like, let's say, a deer might be very nice and gentle, but they're still an animal. Right. So compared to, let's say, a badger, it's better to spend your time with the deer. Like that. Yes?
I don't know if I should say this, but you know how, like, the stars... No, you know how different things are in, like, this is goodness of goodness and...
Yes, yes.
Is that the same thing?
Yes, all the same thing. All the same. It's just showing what are the modes and where it goes up to. So those positions that create them, it doesn't mean that the consciousness is there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Brahma, so being in that goodness of goodness, but his consciousness doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Okay.
But his occupation, his position, what creates where he is. You know what I'm saying? Just like someone may be born in a Brahmin family by all the rituals and everything. So his position is created by goodness, but his consciousness may not be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just showing what are the different positions. That's why then you have demons who are devotees. So according to the demons, they're right down there in the mode of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, depending upon what position they're in. You know, and some of them in ignorance. But I think even some of them in goodness. It's just a matter of what level of demons they are. So their situation. So the daityas will be higher than the danavas. Right? So then, but consciousness, then that's another thing. That's why we're trying to go beyond the modes. Because the modes still bind. Does that make sense to you? In this way, God is presented in various ways, right, according to their own... Right? But your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. Okay, so that's the... Then that concludes that. So then, by your form, that'll establish the real. Your form already accommodates everything else, so therefore there's no need of any other mental speculative points. And then, so your appearance establishes the real form of God is. Right? The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayana is transcendental to any material idea, right? So then they'll consider he'll be goodness of goodness. So even above Brahma, like that. And I think there's some different things on the position of Brahma and Vishnu and this and that, get into their fine headspace and all that when they have nothing better to think about. So... Really determined.
Brahmavadis would also consider the Lord to be
a... No, no. It depends. If you have the actual... because the point is this. It means we only hear of, you know, two pure Brahmavadis. There might be more, but there's only the two that we actually refer to, and those two became devotees, as it says. Because to come to that platform, you have to use devotion to get to that platform. And then because of that devotion and being on that platform, then they'll continue that and come up to the prema. Like that. So generally what we're talking about generally is always Mayavadis. So when you say impersonalist, basically you can say Mayavadis. Because it's the mundane concept that has to be Mayavadis. Because Brahmavadis, there is no material world. It's real, it's all transcendental. Like that, so they're not worried about it. But it's that they don't know anything beyond it. They don't know Paramatma, they don't know the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay, so they'll consider him goodness of goodness, so he'll be the topmost deity that you can worship. That's why then he's worshipped instead of meditating on Brahma or Shiva or like this. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayana is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted, Narayanaf paro vyaktata. The material creation is created by the avyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter. And Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. This is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. Right, so he's the form, he's the material... phenomena that we know of names and forms, the Mahatattva, that comes from the avyakta. But Narayan is beyond that, Navyakta. So they're just taking it back to there, and then from there, then you merge back into the Lord. But they say, but Narayan is beyond. So he's acknowledging that. They don't know why he said that. They're bewildered, but, you know, they just take everything else he says. Okay, this one verse, they don't understand. Everything else, they're cool with. Just like all these books, they're cool with. But there's the one book on Radha and Krishna and the supreme position of worshiping them, and that's the best and all. If you don't bring it up, they'll never bring it up. But if you bring it up, they'll acknowledge it, that he did write it. But they have no idea why he wrote it. And so they just stick to all the other books. Like that. So this is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. The Lord does not belong to the material mode of goodness, for he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental, eternal status of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the non-devotees because there is a curtain of yoga maya which covers Krishna's actual features. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakashas Sarvasya, the Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. Because he being beyond, you can only know him through his mercy, because the material senses can't know him. So only when he reveals himself, that's why it's revelation, that's why it's a descending process. So through revelation, he can be appreciated. Then in that position, then we can know. So therefore his yoga maya covers, and he cannot be known. The demigods continued, O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of the imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Footnote 27. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 36 to Bhagavad Arkamrithi Mala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord. Bhagavad Shakti Tattva, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So he's the essential. So he is the Lord of all his energies. So describing those energies, then it's only devotional service that can be gained. Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur writes, not only your form is Shuddha Sattva, but also your name. Both name and form can be realized only by devotion. There is no other way. Thus, this verse is spoken. Right? So it's not that there's alternatives. There is no other way. So the path given by the acharya is to how to chant. Now, the chanting itself is beyond the rules. But the point is us being conditioned, we're not beyond the rules. Therefore, then those things that will help us in the chanting, that's what we use. Does that make sense? So it's not that because the name's above the rules, now we can make up our own rules. No, the name's above the rules, and we follow the rules given by those who are liberated. Because if we make them up, then they're going to have four problems. So you want to avoid those four problems. Right? Yes?
It's interesting that in Shikshastaka, Mahaprabhu, in the second verse, he says there's no rules.
Yes.
And then in his third verse, he gives the rules.
Yes. But those are the symptoms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that the first two establish the process of chanting. Someone who is chanting without, you know, how you say, who is situated nicely in that chanting, or that pure chanting, then they have those qualities. So in other words, from the chanting, they get those qualities. Then, from that position, then they give up any material desire or any connection with the material. That's then the next verse. You know, does that make sense? And then how they identify themselves is the verse after that. And then those beyond that, that's dealing with the platform of bhava and prema. So it's that these would come from the process of chanting. So it's not that you're reminded of those because, let's say, we're not being humble or not being respectful. So, and what we're doing service, so we'll think I'm doing service, it's all right, but it's reminded to us that those are the symptoms of one who is nicely situated in service, so if we don't have those, that still means there's anartas. Does that make sense? So giving up that desire for anartas, then that's your next verse. So that's a great, and that will take you on to the next one. So it's a progression. Just the natural stages of how you can go through. As we'll see when we get to the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Our last study will be on the, you know, Shraddha to Prema, and that through the Shikshastika, because that's what it's defining. You know, so each one of those is a stage of how we come through to God. Does that make sense?
What are we going to do after that? What are we going to do after that?
After that? Depends. So then you're going to teach this to those who want to know Bhagavad Gita. Or you can go on to do acharya exams. So. Like that. Plenty to keep you busy. So, yes. So we see is that's like the culmination of all these. Interesting thing is that we'll say, you know, we have Shraddha to Prema. So we'll take it, there's nine stages. But actually, technically, you could say is that there's only eight. That means there's only seven. Because Prema is itself, right? And then Shraddha is then how you're going to start the process. Once you gain Shraddha, then you can start the first process is Sadhu Sangha. Does that make sense? And so then it works like that. So until you get to Shraddha, then you actually don't take up the process. So you have to have that first. That's just like the Dasa Mool. Then the nine, you're proving 9 points based on scripture. So having faith, then that faith can go through all these stages till it gets to Prema. So then you could say Prema is the eighth stage, like that. But you've gone through 7 steps to get there. Mm-hmm. Wants to get into the numbers. Okay. Thus this verse is spoken. Guna here refers to his beautiful form and merciful glance. Karma refers to lifting Govardhan Hill, skillfully posing with 3 bends, etc. Janmika means skillfully posing. He's holding up a mountain on his little finger, and then skillfully posing in threefold bending form. Right? If you'll notice that the guys that come back with the gold medals, you know, for weightlifting at the Olympics are not skillfully posing with threefold bending form. Now, that would knock people out. They went over there, one hand, picked it up, and then stood in the threefold bending form.
With their pinky.
Then, huh?
With their pinky.
With their pinky, yeah.
And their face looking nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The whole thing. Then, that would definitely, you know, probably be the first 20 that was ever. Well, now they do it the opposite, right? They start with 16 and then take off.
Things not an artistic presentation.
That's true. That's true. I guess he'd have to go for Mr. Universe because there they like the.
Yeah, that's true.
There they could get it. Okay.
But that's not about strip. It's just cosmetic.
Yeah. Janma refers to his role as son of Nanda and Vasudev. So his name, his form are not ascertained like this. Your name, form, attributes. So like that. His guna, his karma, all these things, these are then. Krishna's doing all these. So he's doing this out of his affection for the devotees. So devotional service means engaging your guna and karma in such situation in Krishna's service. Right? Because that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So we get to practice that by using whatever we ended up in right now. You know, it's like musical chairs. Whichever chair you end up in, that's the one you use. So it's not that it's about the chair. You know what I'm saying? So the same way is that Krishna is about the rasa between the devotee and that. Therefore, then Krishna takes that form and the devotee has the particular form. But those forms, that's the essence, that's the real. Then the all expanding features, all these are just the effulgence of that, the existence of that. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada adds, Since Krishna and his transcendental name, form, and activities are all of a transcendental nature, ordinary persons, or those who are only slightly advanced, cannot understand them. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. I think what I mean before is that you would say is that you've come to the stage of prema, but technically prema is not a stage. Prema is the points. And then below that are how prema in the form of Bhava is extended to get you to that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking that after study Shikshastaka, then we can experience rasa.
Yes.
That would be a nice practice.
Yes. But now you can go back and read everything, and then you will experience the rasa that's there, rather than just the technical or the grammatical or, you know, all these different aspects like that. Yeah. So then you'll see what Prabhupada's saying, that he's saying the most technical, driest things in such a pleasant way because of the vision of rasa. So that's why it's so simple in that, is because the position of rasa, not because, oh, it's just using the simple words to, you know, to make it generally available, but then there's more technical treatises that more exactly explain. No, you'll understand these things as this realization. Because we're thinking it's the words that do it. No, it's the realization that does it. Because as we see, as we can go back and forth between 10th canto Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, and on the platform of either Tattva or Rasa, they can be discussing exactly the same thing. Like that. So it's a point of realization. It's not the medium that's used. So in other words, Krishna, you know, in his perfect form, is being described in Vedanta Sutra, but using the techniques of Nyaya. Therefore, it's Nyaya Prashtan. Right? The Upanishads are explaining the same thing, but that'll be Shruti Prashtan. Right? And then the Gita and the Puranic literatures and that, the Smriti then is describing the same thing then from that angle. So they just have three different features.
Depending on the audience.
Mm-hmm. But also So Prabhupada is so perfectly combines all that together that it becomes the perfect, you know, it's like what it says that Sukadev Goswami about the Bhagavatam, it's just, you know, how you say, perfectly relishable. Mm. Right? No skin, no seed. You know, because we like to take off the, you know, the skin and the seed and that, and then we consider, now this is gyan. You know? Or we went through that and we did something and now we accomplished something. But here's what you want is to get to this. So it's just discussing with that. So the perfectly ripe mango, no skin, no seed. And then we feel there's something less. You know. So if it has skin and seed, then it's higher karma or higher jnana. You know.
Or if it's a jackfruit, those are a lot more trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Or durian, then you have the smell. You know, I guess that's the material world. Right? You know, smells like heaven, tastes like... I mean, smells like hell, tastes like heaven. Like, you know, we think it's heaven, but actually, if you go by the smell... Then, okay. Since Krishna is a transcendental name, form, and activities are all of a transcendental nature, ordinary persons, or those who are only slightly advanced, cannot understand them. Right? So the more we advance, the more we can appreciate and understand. That's the whole point, because it's revealed. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is a difference between form and name. The mango fruit is different from the name of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting, mango, mango, mango. But the devotee who knows that there is no difference between the name and the form of the Lord chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and realizes that he is always in Krishna's company. So that, the whole taste, everything is there. The name, the form, the qualities, everything's there. There's no difference. So that's the special. So that's realized. So we practice by chanting. The Lord is also known as Giridhari or Girivaradhari, because Krishna, for the sake of his devotees, lifted Govardhan Hill. The devotees appreciate... Generally, I reread a paragraph. Okay. For persons who are not very advanced, though, maybe that's why, right? What do you call it? What is it? Freudian slip. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. They can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there's no difference between the transcendental name and the form of the Lord, there's no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. Right? So in any case, anything connected with Krishna will make you remember Krishna and will absorb you in Krishna. That's what one's trying to do. Mm-hmm. So Krishna uses all these varieties of ways, so why one would leave any of them? Mm-hmm. That's why it's recommended all these different aspects. The association of devotees, hearing Bhagavatam in that association, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, all those things mean that, right? Because Dham means everything's being done to please Krishna, right? Material world means it's done not to please Krishna. Dham means it's done to please Krishna. So I said, wherever Lord Chaitanya went, there's Vrindavan. Why? Because everything's done to please Krishna, right? So the temple is Vaikuntha because everything being done there is to please Krishna, right? So...
What sense is said that for persons who are not very advanced, the pastimes are exhibited by the Lord?
Because otherwise, they've just chanting the name, everything's revealed. But at the same time, he's coming to perform his pastimes. He's performing those pastimes anyway, but he reveals them here to attract our minds. So even we're not necessarily very advanced, we hear about Krishna's pastimes, we're attracted. You know, you read Krishna book, everybody likes to hear. So it attracts us. So then we try to commit ourselves, dedicate ourselves more to the chanting process. Right? But the point is that perfection of the chanting is then reveals these pastimes. So we're just hearing about them and they're nice. So basically you can say they're you know, you get names, some aspect of form. You know, we see a little bit of it, but as you go, then the depth of the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes, the associates, all that deepens until there's proper full realization. Right? Does that make sense? So that's prema. Then one experiences these things. Now we hear about these things, we see these things, but they experience them. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. So it's just a matter of our realization, then it's not there. But that he specifically come and perform that is to attract our minds, because we are not experiencing them. Right? You know, we're still stuck on what are corn dogs at Coney Island. So we're trying to move on. Right? So, yeah.
For this beginning attraction for Krishna's Lila, I heard Robert that now we are eating dry and coming from us.
Well, actually, we're getting a taste of the honey, but we're only getting a small taste because our anartas get in the way of that taste. When we actually properly, then that whole jar can be appreciated. Because otherwise, it's not that the glass is so exciting and attractive that's why we're attracted to Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? It's actually there. Shraddha comes. Shraddha is that first principle of prema. It's actually part. But It's only on a small level, but compared to anything in the material world, it's greater than anything here. So the bud of prema is bhava, and that bhava extends down as shraddha. Right? So we see that. Then we practice Krishna consciousness and try to remove anartas. The reason we can't taste is because of the anartas. Right? So the better example would be given than we're tasting from the outside. That's what the materialists, because they can't get at these things, would be the example Rupa Goswami gives of eating rock candy. So rock candy is the most purified form of sugar, right, of sweetness. But someone who has jaundice, it will taste bitter, actually. So, but then because it's bitter, you don't want to take it. But it's the medicine. So therefore, by continually taking rock candy, then it starts to come to the point where it's just neutral. You put it in your mouth, there's no taste. And then with time, then it starts to get a little sweet, and as you keep going, then it gets into a full sweetness. You understand? So that's the point. We chant, even though we don't get that taste, you know, performing the activities, doing the activities may seem bitter, but by performing it, then we progress. Is that? The devotees appreciate the Lord's inconceivable strength, but non-devotees, in spite of directly perceiving the Lord's inconceivable strength and power, regard the Lord's activities as fictitious, right? Because they want to see it from a mundane platform, so they can't appreciate. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Non-devotees cannot give any nomenclature for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Lord is known as Shyamasundara and Giridhari. Right? So they don't see him in that way. They can only give things like he's the greatest, he's the original, or he's the judge, witness, different things like this. They can't give, actually, from Bhagavan platform, the realization. So even dealing with the names of the Lord, they deal with the secondary names. They don't deal with the primary names. That's the position. So, yeah. The history of Krishna, the person, has been openly seen by everyone. Yet only those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of God can appreciate this history. Whereas non-devotees who have not developed their loving qualities think that the activities, form, and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fictitious. Therefore, this verse explains, Nanama rupe guna janma karma ibhir nirupitavye tava tasya Shakshina. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy. Although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet, similarly because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they actually see the Lord's activities, either through authority or through history. Footnote 28. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities and thus become elevated to the same position. Right? They get acquainted, then they become inspired, they take up devotional service, then from that platform, then they come to pray. In conclusion, unless one elevates himself to the transcendental platform by practicing bhakti yoga, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his name, form, attributes, or activities. That was exactly the Vedanta Sutra verse today. The Acharya's commentaries, exactly. Yes. So, that it brings you to that platform, because we'll take, you have to get to Brahman realization, so therefore the Mayavadis, because they're not devotees. The devotees, by getting to that platform, then they appreciate what the Lord's saying, you know, what the Lord's doing. So by association with devotees, we can appreciate what it means being a devotee. That means then we have to come to that platform of liberation. What is the point of liberation? Because when we say free from the material world, what is it that we're trying to become free from?
Material desires.
So the anartha nivritti. The anarthas, that's what we're getting rid of. So when Rupa Goswami talks about being able to perform service to the Lord through meditation in one's sarup, he says it's after anartha nivritti. Right? So now, many will take it, you know, anartha nivritti meaning just before nishta, in the Madhyama platform, but it actually means anartha nivritti meaning before prema, Brahma Bhuta. You have to come to that. Then you can say, now you're fixed in devotional service. Because before that, it's fixed in a mixed position. It means it's steady. But here, this is then the real point of steady. And even that has to come up to the point where it's steady in Purva Rag, and then that will come to the point where then your service is steady, so then that Vastu Siddhi, which means then you come to Prema. So then you can actually say Prema is the point of. Right? So it always keeps moving up. So Prema is then where all this discussion stops. After that, it's just experience. Is that? Okay. But if by chance, by the association of devotees, one can actually understand the Lord and his features, one immediately becomes a liberated person. So if one appreciates that, one becomes liberated. Only by being liberated you can understand that. So the point is by being situated in service to the acharyas, trying to follow in their footsteps, that then situates us in the liberated position, in which then it's realized, then we can appreciate. Does that make sense? So that it comes from desire. That desire comes from devotees. So surrender to the devotees then means we get the position that then we can surrender to Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their mind to him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvitaha. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. The demigods continue.
In other words, it's interesting, in the previous one, if you're elaborating in great detail this verse of Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna spoke, Dhamma Karma Chamedivyam, Dhamma talks about his appearance and activities. But here, the Shanti Bhartikur, he defines Janma as appearance of the Lord, the roles that the Lord plays.
Yeah, because the point is Janma means his connection with Nanda Baba and Vasudeva. So then that his janma is as Nanda Nandana, Jashoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana, yeah, or Vasudeva, you know, the son of Vasudeva. So that then is the form, that's his birth. He appears as their, you know, in that relationship with them. So it's not that he takes birth. It's just that that relationship is able to be manifest that we can appreciate. Yeah? Yeah. And because it's human pastimes, therefore then, you know, you need to be born, right? Humans are born, so you need to be born. So therefore it works. And so then in Goloka, then that aspect is already taken care of. It's not that Goloka, they know that Gokula is not non-different. So therefore its appearance activities are part of the whole scene. Right? So then it'll be, you know, it's natural. He's from there. Otherwise, someone else can, claim that, no, he's mine. And so therefore, you know, why is he going to Nanda Baba's house? He should be coming to my house. You know? But everyone will say, no, he's born. Everybody knows he's born.
It's interesting because in Bhagavatam and all the other, up till now, whenever the Lord appears inside of Angaluda, or he appears in the forest, or he appears in the heart,
yes,
it's only in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and Krishna, where he actually takes birth, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. And Ramachandra, yeah. Chaitanya. Yeah. He's that, the Paravastu. Yeah. Srinivasa, he's in his own kind of category. Because it's said in Brahma Samhita, it's kind of that position of Nrisimha there is kind of mystical. It's not really, you know, so.
Balaram also appears, takes birth.
Yes, Balaram appears. Yeah, they're saying the Paravasta. Because they're playing the human-like pastime. Nrisimhadev, it's half human, half, you know, so. Yeah. But all the other forms, then they're Vishnu, they're God, they're not human.
Yeah.
But Rahadev is small, so maybe he's a baby.
Yeah, but there's no mother, necessarily. But that's one appearance. Another time he came in a different way. So different times he comes. It's just an amazing way he appears. So, therefore, the advantage of bigger noses, then you have more of a chance to the Lord's appearance.
Vamana he is. He begged first.
Yeah. Hmm? Oh. Okay. So sometimes he does. You know, it's up to him as he likes.
That's how we can adjust everything.
Yes. No. Even Kapila as well.
Oh, Kapila. Yeah, so then you'll see it in Leela avatars, I mean. But these others that he was mentioning before in Garuda, generally they're not Leela avatars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're coming as some kind of, you know, function or stuff like that. Because then you'll just see the God aspect.
Kalki. So,
Kalki? Yeah. Yeah.
Buddha.
Okay, now it's done. Wait a minute! Yeah. But the in Vaikuntha then those forms aren't seen. In Vaikuntha all the forms have the forearm form. So Nrisingadeva is a forearm form, Vamadeva is a forearm form. They're all there. So there it's just that God aspect. So it's not really, it's just, it'll be just be seen as part of his pastimes as God. While in Braj it'll be seen, or in Goloka it'll be seen as his pastimes in the human form. Does that work? Okay. Okay. The demigods continued. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet, and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember you, your transcendental names and forms, are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Footnote 29. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 37. To Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, Chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavad Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so it's only through this point of connecting the others, themselves to the chit potency, and connecting others to that chit potency, that one can know the Lord. Right. So then in Sambandha Gyana, it's about knowing the Lord, so you can only know him through these things. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of knowing him like that. Then being able to taste and appreciate, that's through the Abhideya, that will bring you to prema. Does that make sense? So these will bring you, first the process will bring you to the transcendental platform, to the transcendental platform, then to the prema. Srila Prabhupada comments. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harer dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, karmana manasa ghira, may stay in any condition of life. Nikilasvap yavastasu. And yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchite. Is this all part of one verse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because it all matches. Yeah. Someone said something?
No.
Oh, okay. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Right? So he has nothing to do with it means it's not him. He's just engaging it. So many times. Yeah. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly Acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vakya, Chitete, Kariya, Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Right? So we hear things according to how they're explained by the Acharyas. Then having that appreciation, then we go forward nicely in devotion, pure devotional service. Because otherwise, if we take on the explanations of the non-devotees, with that mood of non-devotion, then the problem is it starts to affect our devotional service, and then we start divining devotional service in that method of non-devotion. So that's why then we hear from the acharyas, right? It's based on scripture, then how the acharyas have given it, how the spiritual master has given it, then we practice that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premananda.